I want to preach to you just for a few minutes on gentleness. Gentleness. Come back tonight, I'll do it again. But we're going to talk tonight about how to... See, in the morning we talk about how to take in the character that God is giving to us, right? And so we're looking at examples this morning of the gentleness of Christ. But tonight, we need how to be gentle with other people. So one of the things not taught very much in the church today is conflict resolution. And one of the greatest needs in the church today is conflict resolution. Because although everybody's saved, they still have some sinner's problems. And we sometimes can get out of character. Somebody can cut us off, right? Anybody ever been cut off? Anybody ever been cut on? God's people with a knife. As we talked about Peter, put away the sword, Peter. Put away the sword. You're not called to cut. That's God's job. How many know the Holy Ghost knows how to cut? The Word of God can cut, right? It convicts and converts. But we are God's agents, God's people. God's people ministering God's will amongst the nations. That's our goal. The prophetic people of God. The Spirit-filled people of God. Are you here? Spirit-filled people, let me see you. There you are. The prophetic, not the pathetic, the prophetic. Some people are walking in pew pathetically, but some are walking in the Spirit prophetically. So I want us to take a look at it today. Are you going to give me the power or you got the power? Who's running this thing, you or me? You? Okay, we'll let them do it. Are you running it or am I running it? Praise the Lord. There you go, baby. If you're going to run it, stick with me. Amen. All right. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5. Let your gentleness be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. Say it with me. The Lord is at hand. One more time. The Lord is at hand. Does anybody here believe Jesus is coming soon? Like, how soon do you think he's coming? Do you think he could come before we get out of service? I mean, we believe in the imminent return of the Lord. That means any moment now the Lord can come back. There's nothing yet to be fulfilled on this church age that needs to be. Messianic prophecies are fulfilled. The Lord has come. I said, the Lord has come. I said, the Lord has come and the Lord is coming. So I don't know where you want to be. I would like to be in a graveyard when the Lord comes back. I know it's a little weird, but the Bible says that the dead in Christ will rise first. I just want to be there. See the graves just bust open. Boom. I woke some of you up. Now you can be ready for the sermon, right? So the graves bust open. The dead in Christ go first. And then we which are alive. Does anybody here believe in the rapture of the church? The Lord is coming. The Lord is near. We were saying that 2,000 years ago. The Lord is at hand, right? And I want to ask you today, are you strong enough? Are you strong enough to be gentle? Because the Lord is giving us, he's kind of helping us. You can change a slide because I can't. So either you give it to me, the power, or you change a slide. Either way you want to do it. There you go. Are you strong enough to be gentle? That's my question. Are you strong enough to be gentle? It's kind of oxymoronish. You know, strong and gentle. And in our culture, when we think about gentleness, we think about people who are passive and maybe have no backbone, right? People walk all over them like a doormat, and we call it tolerant. We should be more tolerant, right? And so we should just let everybody do whatever they want to do. But Jesus said, if somebody slap you on one side of your face, all you have to do is turn your cheek and let them slap the other side. But I kept reading, and he didn't give me any further instructions. And so you guys, you better kill me. Don't let me back up. Amen? No, I'm teasing. I hadn't been saved all my life, so this fruit of the Spirit thing is rough to deal with. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Gentleness. So I want to look at gentleness defined, and you can go with me on that. Gentleness defined. We want to look at it because there are several words. It's not an easy word to define, especially in the Greek. But the people in the New Testament understood it because they understood Greek. And they understood because of Aristotle and all the other Greek philosophers who would understand the meanings of these words. But it was hard. It was a complex word from its original. In the Greek, it is praos or praos, meaning one meaning is the center in between two extremes. The center in between two extremes. Are you with me? Next slide. Is it there? Thank you. The Greek word praos, three meanings. The first one is a gentle person is a well-balanced person. Only do slides so you can take notes, okay? So if you don't want to take notes, don't worry about it. Just listen to me. A gentle person is a well-balanced person. It's between. They don't, you know, how many spenders in here? Anybody? Just admit it. Come on. How many just spend? You just spend more than you save. How many is not voting? How many people are spenders? Just be real. Just say, I'm a spender. I'm not a saver. I'm a spender. Okay, put your hands down. How many savers? Not a spender. How many are awake? So sometimes you get spenders. You know, when you get married, if you're a spender, you ought to be married to a saver. And if you're a saver, you ought to be married to a spender. Otherwise, you're both going to have nothing. So the meaning is two extremes. You're not a spender nor a saver. Somebody who is meek or gentle. There's other words that can be used. Humble, meek, gentle. You know, there's a lot of words because the Greek doesn't give a specific one meaning. And the first meaning is a balanced person, a balanced person. Let's stay there just for a minute. Don't switch the slide yet. But it means that you don't overeat, you don't undereat. I don't want to go there. That's another sermon for another day. They eat enough, but they don't eat too much. They're balanced, moderate. Paul said, "Be moderate in all things." Kind of a moderation, and so balanced. How important is balance to our character? And so, you know, many years ago, I was telling somebody this week. I, as a leader, pastor, I struggled, and I'll just be transparent with you. Some days I felt like I was a good leader. You know, I was really doing really good on this side of the spectrum. But if you look at the continuum of leadership, Mark Rutland taught me this. It's kind of a line, a continuum of leadership. And he said that all of us are vacillating back and forth in this life trying to be more like Jesus. Can somebody help me say amen? Well, none of us are perfect. I just, some days I felt like a really good leader, and then other days I felt like a really poor leader. And so Mark taught me, hey, you're just a leader. You're neither good nor bad. You're just a leader. Just get over yourself a little bit, Ron. Because some days when I get lax and I'm not doing what I ought to do, he said, if you're really lax on this side, you just tighten up. How many know some days you just need to tighten up? And then if you get so tight, how many get so tight you're about to pop? Anybody? Then you need to loosen up. Turn to your neighbor and say, loosen up. You're about to pop. And somebody turn to your name and say, hey, tighten up. You're supposed to be taking notes and listening when pastor's preaching, not sleeping. Tighten up. So then on this continuum, you're just kind of going, the same thing, I feel like the same thing in dealing with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is God helping us. God is helping us. He's giving us what we need to be more like Him in life. But we have a tendency to go back and forth. Do we not? Am I making you dizzy? Are you listening to me? So a balanced person is crucial in your character. What about in your teaching? Hey, what do you need? Don't you think we need a balanced approach to teaching the Word of God? Because a lot of people on faith teach hyper faith, and they don't know how to endure. So you need a balance between faith and endurance. You need a balance between submitting to authority and personal responsibility. How many know we can't sit on the rooftop, wait till Jesus comes? We got some things to do. So treat all men gently. The Lord is at hand. And so you might be saying today, Pastor, I'm going to make a pass. Can I have a pass on today's sermon on gentleness? Because, you know, I'm tight. I'm really tight. And it's not my personality. Well, I'm glad you think so. But the Lord's saying to you, hey, be gentle to all men. And the Lord's saying, all men, be gentle to all men. So nobody gets a pass. If you're tight in this area, you just need to loosen up and be a little bit more gentle. If you're passive, very passive, and everybody just walks all over you, you need to get over here in the middle. That's the meaning of the word. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So the river flows deepest down the middle. And so even when it comes to submission to authority and personal responsibility, some are so locked into submitting to authority, they refuse personal responsibility. They want somebody else that they're submitted to make all the decisions. How many know you're not living in your mom and daddy's house anymore? You got to grow up. Sooner or later, you got to grow up and be an adult and take responsibility. Nobody ever, you know, at first God, at new believers, if there's any new believers in here, understand God will be with you and deal with you gently. But listen, the older you get in the Lord, you need to be taking on his characteristics. You need to be growing up. How many know the Lord's more interested in you being like him than doing for him? There's a lot of charismatic activity, but he said, I want you to be, not just do. And when it comes to learning the will of God, who shall I marry? Where shall I go? What school shall I go? Should I have kids now? Should I have kids later? Should I buy this car? Should I buy that house? There's a lot of decisions to make, right? But the will of the Lord is that you be. Because if you don't be right, it doesn't matter who you marry. It's not going to work. If you're not being right, it doesn't matter where you go. It's not going to fly. Are you hearing me? There's a balance. There's a balance. So some people want the gifts of the Spirit, but they don't want the fruit of the Spirit. You understand? And we Pentecostals, we Charismatics, we really operate in the gifts, and thank God. How many glad we still operate in the gifts at Oak Grove? The gifts are in operation. I said the gifts are in operation. But the Lord uses people, right? The Lord uses people. Every gift he gives us, he uses channels to give it to us. Just think about that. Selah. God uses people. He wants to use you. So he's giving you his characteristics so that you can give those characteristics to somebody else. And one of the fruit is gentleness. It's just not my personality. You come back tonight and I'll tell you all about your personality. We'll figure that one out. So we don't want to make decisions ourselves. And then other people are so deep independent that they're not interdependent. They're all independent. I'm doing this by myself. Nobody can help me. And they're so independent, they can't get along with anybody. How many know you got a whole bunch to live with and be with? In the family, on the job, at work, at the school, everywhere you go, you got to get along with everybody. You're not on an island by yourself, my friend. In fact, God chose to make the church a vital part of the way he distributes his gifts. He uses people. He uses his church to reach the world. Can you imagine if the church was not gentle like Jesus? Then you'd just have another legalistic country club where nobody cares about anybody. Show up if you want. Don't show up if you want. Don't care who's here. Don't care who's not here. It's an I don't care, indifferent spirit. And that's not the people of God. How many know the people of God care? So I'm just going to assume that you're writing down so much that you can't respond, and I'm going to preach anyway. You're so attracted to this world that you're not rapture ready. So worried about this world, you're not getting ready for the other. So a gentle person is balanced. They're right down the middle. They know they have responsibility. They live in a real world, but they also know there's a real world coming. It's not a fairy tale. How many know Jesus is coming? People, get ready. I said, we're getting ready for a wedding, not a funeral. So why do we come in the church and look like sour people? I mean, we're getting ready to go to heaven. I mean, when our worship should be exuberant, our life should be filled with life. We should be purposeful in our doing and our going and in our being. We should be more like Jesus. Can you imagine Jesus being like the church? My Lord. There would have been no access to anybody. Kind of like the old school preachers I grew up under. The rapture's coming and nobody's going. How's that for a spirit of gentleness? That's more like a spirit of judgmentalism. Nobody's going. That's not Jesus. I love children's ministries. All of you know that. All of you know that. First thing I ever did was a children's pastor. And children know phony baloney. Children can read right through you and right now. And Jesus was accessible. Luke chapter 10 says he just got in children. He just got there and children ran to Jesus. Gentleness means approachable. Approachable. And here's the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ruler of heaven and earth. And a child can come to him. Mm-hmm. And yet in our culture, the sons of Zebedee wanted to sit on the right, and who's on the right, and who's on the left, and who's the boss, and who's the leader around here? You know, let's kill the Romans. Let's kill them all. And Jesus said, you missed it. That's not my DNA. Are y'all hearing me? And so, gentleness is balance between the two. Not compromise, but completeness. And definitely not competing and fighting. Some people, they don't get it. So people get out of balance. They just to emphasize that God forgives, but right, just to emphasize that only and never expect a turnaround in your life. How many know that's out of balance? Hey, listen, if you're a sinner here, listen to me clearly. God forgives. How many here at Oak Grove believe God forgives? And if you're away from God, you need to know that our gentle Savior will save you. Come on down here, we'll pray for you. Does anybody believe that we ought to accept sinners? But after you get saved, there ought to be a change in your life. Oh, it's going to get quiet in here. I can feel it in my spirit. See, the balance, gentleness is balance between making a decision and making a disciple. And our culture is very inundated with making decisions. But they're very, very lax in making disciples. So new believers, they are all intending to do good. How many know good intention? Hell is filled with people with good intentions. So they have good intention. They come. But if a pastor or a church or a Sunday school teacher or a mentor or a mentee, somebody has to get that new believer and help them to develop the fruit of the Spirit in their life. That's what's happening right now, right here. You can come to church another 10 years from now. Hopefully you won't be as bad off as you are now. We're all growing. I wish I could show you the picture. I showed the church Wednesday night, Melissa and I, when we got married 36 years ago. I had a head full of hair. Beautiful. My wife is beautiful, still beautiful. But we were young. We've changed a little bit. In 36 years, we've changed a little bit. How many of you have changed a little bit? You don't want to admit it, but I'll find somebody who loves you this afternoon and we'll tell you the truth. So all of these things, there's a balance between what we believe and how we behave, and the concept of freedom and our duties, the concept of liberty and holiness, the concept of meekness and gentleness is a balance. Meekness is not weakness. It's balance. The second thing that I want to show you, we ain't got nothing but time. I'm going to put the air on again. They went back to that. Did y'all give up on me? There you go. Okay. Some reason the heater is on and not the air. But hey, don't worry about it. I'll just sweat. I know what you want me to do, Brother Dennis said, take off your jacket. Okay, brother. The second thing is a gentle person is a disciplined person. Not only well-balanced, but very disciplined. Disciplined. And so when you think of this, it's a reference to a wild animal who's been tamed, a wild stallion's been broken. So although their spirit has been broken, their passions are still there. Their spirit has been broken. Their will has been submissive to the will of their trainer. Do you see that? So his spirit is broken, but only broken so that they can be used by the trainer, so that the trainer can ride them or they can be gently ridden. See, the problem is if we don't have the spirit of gentleness like Christ, then the Lord cannot use us. For people to have access to us, we have to have a gentle spirit. For us to be able to be used of God, we have to have the spirit of God. Making the gospel accessible, attractive. You know what? There's a lot of churches looking out for attractive outside, and they're really ugly inside. And Jesus said, hey, you're acting like Pharisees and religious leaders. Outside, you look, you know, like whitewashed sepulchers. But inside, you smell like stench and dead man's bones. And he begins a series of woes. Woe to you, because you want to be heard want everybody to see you. You want the best seats in the house. You know, you want everybody. It's arrogance versus humility, basically. A good definition of gentleness is a balance between arrogance. Get away from arrogance and get into confidence. Is different. Amen? So we concentrate more on being, then there's purpose in the transformation. The stallion is gentle or meek. That's the picture. It's not one of those stallions. How many ever go on them horseback rides and the horse is like 150 years old, skin and bones, and just a little... You can let go of the reins. The horse has done rode on that path 10,000 times. He's like, there's no stallion left. His spirit has been crushed. So gentleness is not a stallion with a crushed spirit. No. Gentleness is a stallion whose spirit is under control. See that? They still have passion. They still have purpose. They still lift their head high. They still walk uprightly. But they are serving someone else. Are you seeing that? So they're captured. Their energy has been channeled for God's creative, useful ways. So a meek person is a disciplined person. And Moses, Jesus called Moses the meekest man on the earth in Numbers 12 and 3. So let's see if we have Moses' scriptures. Numbers 12, 6 through 8 says, then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. You see that? Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all of my house. I speak with him face to face, even clearly, and not in dark sayings. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? This is considering the story of Moses and his brother Aaron and his sister Miriam. Miriam didn't like who Moses chose to marry. You thought you were the only ones that had in-law problems. Well, Miriam, the sister of Moses, didn't like the wife of Moses because she was from a different race. That's a whole nother sermon. I mean, oh, God hates prejudice. He puts something on his sister. I say, well, Pastor, what does it have to do with gentleness? When the Lord strikes her for not obeying the man of God, listen, it is a dangerous thing to mess with the man of God. It's not an arrogant thing. It's God's plan. And God had a plan to have Moses to serve the people. And his own family member rebelled and bucked up against the leadership and Miriam. And God struck her with leprosy. But here's the gentle man of God, Moses. Instead of saying, that's right, God, strike my sister with leprosy. The Bible says that Moses prayed and the Lord healed Miriam. So what is gentleness? It is a balance between having all this power and being able to use gentleness to restrain yourself when you could have, but you did not. That's it. And it's discipline. He had the discipline in his life. Now, was Moses perfect? Could somebody answer the pastor's preaching? Was Moses perfect? Absolutely not. Here's a man that lost his temper, killed an Egyptian, ran on the backside of the wilderness. You don't know what is going on. He takes care of this man, Jethro's sheep. He marries this woman. He goes all over the place, and all of a sudden, God meets him. Even God's presence meeting Moses seems to be a gentle touch. He sees a bush on fire. It doesn't get consumed. And Moses is like, what is that? And he approaches, and the voice of God, Moses, Moses. How many of you would have took off and ran? Comes to the bush. God, is that you? We serve a gentle God. Man, he could have taken us all out, but he chose to save us. All-powerful God stoops down to become human like us. He becomes a little bitty baby. What is a picture of gentleness if it's not how we handle a little bitty baby? Mary's holding God. Wow. So it's this idea that Moses is disciplined, not perfect. He's the meekest man on all the earth. A wild man, but he becomes captured. And this wild stallion is brought useful for God. And he was no doormat, no wimp. He was no doormat and no wimp. Stand before Pharaoh. Pharaoh, let my people go. Okay. And gently waits. How many believe the Lord can bring judgment in his time? All Moses did was instructions that God gave him. He did what God said. Told him what God said. He left. He came back. Hey, here I am again. God still says, let my people go. Let my people go. Did you know you can still be firm and strong, and yet you can still be gentle and kind? God gave me a few years ago a coined phrase. I don't know if maybe it was me or I didn't hear it anywhere before this time. That's all I can tell you. But so in the ministry, you deal with confrontation sometimes. Okay, 10 times a day. And even if it's not your own problem, you're dealing with somebody else's. And you're trying to resolve. Some days I feel like a referee on a football field. I need a whistle like, personal foul. Because we're by human nature, we're not gentle. This goes against the grain. And so the Lord gave me a phrase called kind confrontation. Does that sound like an oxymoron? Kind confrontation. I'm going to jack you in the face and kiss you on the other side. Now, I don't know how that works. Not sure how it all works. But the two meanings so far are the balanced person is a centered and balanced person is a meek person and the disciplined person. And later we'll see about more about Moses. But the third meaning is a gentle or meek person is actually a person who is inwardly strong. So they are balanced in their approach to life. They are disciplined. They know when to restrain themselves. And it took time for Moses, right? It took time. Even when he was in the wilderness, he struck the rock twice. That's how we know Moses wasn't perfect. I wanted you to paint a picture of Moses so that you can understand. You are just like Moses. I'm just like Moses. We are all just like that. None of us are perfect. We all have personalities. We all lose it sometimes. We all have patience that is a little short fuse sometimes or long fuse, whatever. We talked about that under kindness. But this next one is Jesus. How many know Jesus is perfect? Amen. He said, come unto me, all you who are heavy burdened, for I am meek and lowly, right? I am confident, and I choose to be gentle. It's not like the beat down nag with the head down, right? It's not like that. But it's not like we don't have a choice. But the truly biblical gentle person chooses to be gentle. They're still strong, they're confident, they're disciplined, they're balanced, they're centered, and they have no need to prove themselves. To me, this is one of my favorite definitions of gentleness. No need to prove themselves. You know, in the ministry, there's a lot of insecure people because they become leaders and they think they're supposed to be the leader. And they got something to prove. Got something to prove. Or maybe in the secular world, you're the boss. So I'm the boss. Even in the house, I was in you can't do it. I'm the boss of this house. And everybody laughs, right? I'm the head of this house. She said, yeah, but I'm the neck that turns that head. Don't forget it. So there's this compromise that God puts a man and a woman together. And even in the family, if there's ever a place we need gentleness to be manifested, it's in the family and in the church and in the workplace. And how about in our culture? How about America? Could we use a little bit of the Holy Spirit in America? And so we got dividing lines everywhere. People are vicious and malicious and hatred is going on. But the gentle person, it's the weak and insecure person who strives to prove their worth and actually shows weakness. You're actually showing weakness when you got to try to prove yourself. always striving to be on top. And doesn't American culture say to be a success, to be number one, you climb on whoever you need to climb on top of to be number one? I mean, no, that is not a God principle. That's a worldly, secular thought processing. Jesus said, I am meek and lowly in heart. Learn from me. Stay humble. I don't care what title you have behind your name. You better come on down off of that thing. Because somebody will be challenging you. I was in martial arts when I was growing up. I didn't know a whole lot. I'm not that dangerous. These hands are a lethal weapon, so you better stay back. But I took martial arts, and as soon as I reached black belt status, everybody in high school wanted to fight. So I just want to challenge you. If you big and bad, and you start spouting off how big and bad you are, somebody's going to challenge you. And namely, how many know there's a real devil that when you start getting the fruit of the Spirit piped into your spirit from God's Spirit, how many know the devil's going to show up? You start preaching on patience. I know firsthand. How many know the devil will show up the next morning? He will show up, and he don't let up. So they're centered. They are showing weakness when they're trying to prove themselves. You don't run over people. That's not meekness. That's not strength. A strong, gentle person knows who they are, and they don't need to dominate or manipulate people to prove anything about who they really are. Jesus gives us the best example. When he rides into Jerusalem, on a donkey, on a colt, not on a stallion. All the other kings rode in on a stallion. You know, white stallion at that, just proving that they are the king. Everybody take note, look at me, but not Jesus. When Jesus comes into town on the triumphal entry, he walks in, he kind of rides in. He might even be side saddle on a little donkey. Probably so tall his feet were dragging in the dust of the desert. But he comes in, and yet I still hear them say, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So there were still some who knew that just because he rode a horse into town or a donkey, not a stallion, didn't negate the fact that he's still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Messiah of all people. He's come to save us. Maybe they didn't understand right away. We know that because even the disciples didn't understand right away. They thought our emperor, our king is coming to help us with our agenda. But they had the wrong agenda and they had the wrong spirit. But Jesus spent 33 and a half years and 3.5, namely, trying to invest in them the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes. Not the do attitudes. The Beatitudes. And blessed are the meek. For what? They shall inherit the earth. In other words, there's no limit to what God will do for you if you learn to walk in gentleness. Wow. How many believe God can fight for you? You don't have to prove anything to anybody. He didn't need a power symbol to show who he was. He came as a strong Messiah with a gentle spirit. He comes to us in an approachable way, gentle, not arrogant. Jesus was somebody you can run up to and feel warm and welcome into his presence. Even children could approach Jesus. Gentleness makes it possible for people to reach you with their own love. So I'm not sure how you're walking around, because I got to close. I'm not sure how you're walking around. Does everybody have to love you the way you demand they love you? Do you have to be in control all the time? That's self-control. We'll get to that next week. Can you have enough in you, gentleness, that a child is not afraid to walk up and talk to you? I'll tell you, as a young kid, there were some adults I didn't want to be around. One of them was my grandmother. She was mean as a striped spider. God bless her. She was on the Moran side. It's my problem. She wasn't happy. My grandpa on the other side, he wasn't happy either. We'd slam the door. I don't want to get old like that. When the grandkids slam the door, who slammed the door? I said, Joey. It wasn't me. My mom and daddy's perfect. Jesus was gentle. He chose to relate to people in humility, not from a power trip, You're not powering over people. This brings us to a spirit of humility and gentleness. So meek, so gentle is the fruit of the Spirit. It describes balance. It describes discipline. A Christian who wears gentleness as a garment in their life. Still strong, but inwardly strong. Soft and touchable. Outwardly, inwardly strong and courageous. So that you can have righteous indignation. So do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? So men I knew, I know this is tough. But there is such a thing as men of velvet and men of steel. But we're taught not to cry. We're taught to be tough. We're taught not to let your emotions show outwardly. But love is not rude. It's not proud. It's not pushy. It doesn't elbow people out of line. We must be gentle. So how do we work that out? Well, there's only two things. Let me give them to you, and we'll pray. And Chrissy, come on back. The gentle person, we'll work it out. Let's see how we do it. When are we gentle? Just go on through with me so we can give everybody a good lesson. How do we walk in gentleness? Usually it takes outward pressure to create inward fruit. Somebody's going to see just how gentle you are. Trust me, before you leave today, somebody's going to press the button. Okay, next. When do you need gentleness? All the time, amen? When you have people who oppose you. Can I just ask this morning, just for the sake of knowing, has anybody had anybody oppose you? Okay, so I'm preaching to the right people. Next. When people have failed you. Disappointed you. Remember when Jesus was gentle with Peter? Peter denied the Lord three times. And at the Sea of Galilee, he asked him three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Jesus was the best. He was the best. He knew how to take a bad situation and turn it around. He knew how to forgive, and then he knew how to bring value to people who have failed him. Even those who betrayed him, denied him. And everybody's not going to like you. Okay? How many woke up this morning and realized not everybody likes you? Well, it's true whether you realized it or not. But I'm not one of them. I love you. Paul tells the church at Corinth, he gives them a choice. Do you want me to come at you with a whip or do you want me to come at you in gentleness? That's the truth. That's what he asked them. He gave them a choice. He said, I'd rather come at you with gentleness, but I will bring my whip. See that? So he could be strong, but he chooses to be gentle. Inwardly strong. Outwardly touchable. So when people oppose you, when people fail you, did you know you can be theologically correct and yet ineffective as a believer? Because without a gentle spirit, you lose the argument. You lose. They're not going to listen to you. I don't care how legalistic you want to be or right you want to be. If you turn them off, you're never going to preach the gospel to them because you just shoo them away. Gentleness brings in and harshness and pride and arrogance pushes out.